Grace and peace from our God, Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ be unto you us all. Allow me to read the sermon prepared by our pastor, Harold, with the title, What Ifs and How Wills, based on Psalm 23, verse 2. He leads me beside the still waters. Your 10-year-old son is worried. He can't sleep. What's wrong? You ask. He shakes his head and moans. I don't even have a pension plan. Or your 4-year-old granddaughter is crying in bed. What's wrong, sweetheart? She whimpers. I'll never pass university chemistry. Your 8-year-old nephew's face shows stress as he declares, I'll be a rotten parent. What kind of example will I set for my kids? How would you respond to such statements? Likely you'd say something like, you're too young to worry about those things. Your Heavenly Father will take care of you and your future. When the time comes, you'll know what to do. Fortunately, most children don't have any such thoughts. Unfortunately, we adults have more than our share. Worry is the burlap bag of burdens we have a hard time setting down. It's overflowing with what ifs and how wills. What if it rains at my wedding? How will we pay our child's tuition? What if I don't get that job? How will those medical tests turn out? What if, after all my hard work, that situation doesn't improve? Or even something like, what if, after all my dieting, they learn that lettuce is fattening and chocolate isn't? The burlap bag of worry. Scratchy, irritating to carry, and nearly impossible to give away. No one wants your worries. And the truth is, you don't want them either. Need you even be reminded of the high cost of worry to no one's blood pressure, heart function, and stomach disorders? The biblical word for worry is a combination of two Greek words, merizo, to divide, and nous, the mind. Merizo, nous, a divided mind. Worry splits our energy between today's reality and tomorrow's possibilities. Part of our mind is on the now, the rest is on the not yet. The result is half-minded and half-hearted living. One wise man put it this way, worry is the interest due on a bill you haven't even received. Worry is an expensive habit. It might be worth the cost if it worked, but it doesn't. Our dear Lord Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, and who of you by being worried can add a single hour to your life? How to deal with worry? You might try what one guy did. He decided to hire someone to do his worrying for him. He found a man who would do it for $200,000 per year. After the man accepted the job, his first question to his boss was, where are you going to get $200,000 per year to pay me? To which his boss responded, that's your worry. The truth is, worry is one job you can't hire out. But our dear Lord tells us that with His help, you can overcome it. There's no better help and gift from God in this regard than in verse 2 of the Shepherd Psalm 23. He leads me beside the still waters, David declares. And in case we miss the point, he repeats himself in the next verse, He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He leads me. He leads me. Your Lord, the shepherd, isn't behind you, swinging his rod, yelling, go, Move it, ship. Quit worrying. Knock it off. You better try harder. Your Lord is ahead of you, holding his staff with strength and gentleness, leading you, clearing the best path, cutting the brush, showing the way over rocks and rises. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. The story is told of a tour group in Israel. While riding on the tour bus, the Israeli guide, with great pride, is explaining the wonders of their shepherds, how they walk ahead of their flock, gently leading and guiding their sheep to water and pasture. The bus turns a corner in the road, and lo and behold, as if on cue, there is a flock of sheep. But soon it is painfully clear to all the tourists that the sheep are being driven and beaten and yelled at by their angry caretaker as he marches behind them, hitting them with his rod. The tour guide stops the bus and runs out to the man shouting, "What are you doing? How can you treat those sheep like that? I'm trying to impress this tourist. What kind of shepherd are you?" To which the man replied, "I'm not their shepherd. I'm the butcher." In startling and wonderful contrast, our dear shepherd, our Lord Jesus, says to us in John chapter 10, "I am the shepherd of the sheep. The sheep hear my voice, and I call my own sheep by name and lead them out. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He leads us. He gives us what we need when we need it, when God knows we need it." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 gives you and me this precious invitation. "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." God's help is timely. He helps us the same way a loving father helps his children at the airport. When it's time to board the plane, not too soon and not too late, this father takes all the tickets out of his satchel and stands between the attendant and his young children. As each child passes by him, he places a ticket in their hand. The child, in turn, gives the ticket to the attendant. Each one received the ticket at the right time. No tickets were lost ahead of time. No child was left behind. They all got on the plane at just the right time. No child was heard to say, "What if we don't make it? How will I get my ticket?" In the care of their loving father, all what ifs and how wills melted away. What this man did for his children, your Lord, your shepherd, your Savior, does for you. He places himself between you and the need, and at the right time, he gives you the ticket. This is pretty much the promise Jesus gave his disciples whom he sent out to be his witnesses. He said to them and to us in Mark chapter 13, verse 11, "When they arrest you and hand you over for judgment, don't worry ahead of time about what you should say. Say whatever is given to you to say at that time, because it will not really be you speaking, it will be the Holy Spirit." Our Lord will give us what we need at the right time. Isn't that the message he also gave the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness? He promised to supply them with manna, bread from heaven, each day. But he told them to collect only once they supply at a time. Those who worried that God's provision would not see them through disobeyed and collected enough for multiple days. The result? They found themselves with rotten manna. It didn't take them long to learn what we too can learn. God would give them what they need at the right time. The song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," also helps us to learn the truth of His provisions. Allow me to sing this verse for you, reminding us of how God provides for us. Pardon for sin and appease that endureth, thine o'er dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. My dearly beloved, your Lord, your shepherd, will lead you. He will provide for you. He will do the right thing at the right time. Dear Holy Spirit, bring this sweet truth to each of our hearts who are gathered here this morning. Dear Holy Spirit, draw our hearts and minds ever closer to Jesus our Savior and Shepherd. Please plant the Matthew 6 verse 34 words of Jesus deep into our soul as He said, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Its day has enough trouble of its own." A paraphrased translation of this verse put it this way: give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. By God's gift of faith, we can say this prayer: help me to live one day at a time, dear Lord, and show me that I can entrust into your strong hands all of my future what-ifs and how-wills. Our Lord invites us to meet today's challenges with today's strength. He provides today's manna and invites us not to collect tomorrow's rotten manna of worry. Did you know that what-if and how-will are not even in our Lord's vocabulary? One day, as recorded in the Gospel accounts, a man said to Jesus, "Lord, if you are willing, you can heal my son." Jesus replied, "If I am willing, if I will." And the child was healed. And when Jesus was on the cross dying for you and me and paying for our sins and the sins of the world, a whole host of folks were yelling all kinds of ifs and how-wills at him. From Luke 23 and verse 33 and the following, the unbelieving religious leaders, "If you are the Messiah, came down from the cross." The mocking soldiers, "How will you be the Savior if you can't even save yourself?" One of the thieves crucified next to him, "If you really can, save yourself and me." But the other thief hanging next to Jesus, just being in his holy presence, was given the gift of saving faith. He placed his simple trust in the Savior and humbly said to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus responded without any ifs, ands, or buts. Our loving Lord spoke sweet, sweet words that changed the eternity of this repentant thief, words that changed our eternity as well. Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And one can suggest that when Jesus rose from death and returned to his Father in heaven, this thief was among the first to experience the truth of Jesus' words, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." The scoffing ifs of the religious leaders did not stop Jesus. The mocking how-wills of the soldiers did not stop Jesus. The doubting ifs of the unbelieving thief did not stop Jesus. Like that believing thief, being in the holy presence of our Lord, through His Word and His sacraments, we have received the gift of faith. We put our simple trust in the same crucified and risen Lord who shut the mouths of all the what-ifs and how-wills at the cross. He and He alone is the one who silences the lying voices of worry about the future. Arthur Hayes Sulberger was the publisher of the New York Times newspaper during the Second World War in the 1940s. He admitted many a night he could not sleep due to the world conflict. He admitted he wasted too much of his life, especially at bedtime, with worry over the future. Then through hymns and scripture, he adopted these five words as his bedtime prayer. One staff enough for me. Taken from the hymn, Lead Kindly Light. Lead kindly light, keep thou my feet. I do not ask to see the distance seen. One step enough for me. It's likely that God isn't going to let you and I see the distance seen either. So we might as well stop looking for it. The Bible says God promises us a lamp unto our feet, not a crystal ball into the future. In faith, our bedtime prayer can be, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Or as David said about the Lord, our good shepherd, He leads me besides the still waters. In Jesus' name, Amen.